Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries from the Odessa American for Sunday. Marilyn Batson, 87, passed away peacefully on September 13th in Dallas. She was born on July 29, 1934, in Fredericksburg, to parents Anna and Edwin Itz. Marilyn is survived by daughter Jan Batson of Dallas, son Tom Batson, and his wife Lisa and their precious grandchildren. She is also survived by her sister and brother-in-law Emmy Lou and Hubert Schwartzer of San Antonio, along with numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her husband, Bill Batson, brother Herbert Itz, and her parents. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations to the Faith Presbyterian Hospice Caring Fund at T. Boone Pickens Center, Faith Presbyterian Hospice, 12477 Merritt Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75251. Or online at www.forefrontliving.org/donate-now. Beryl J. Manis, known as BJ, passed from this earth on September 20th at age 96. He was born in Pottersville, Missouri on June 14, 1925. He is survived by Bobby Walker and spouse Billy, daughter Sharon Bass, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. He is preceded in death by his dad, T.A. Manis, stepmother, Beulah Lee Manis, birth mother, Viola Bessie Walker, sister, Lawana Borkstadt, brothers, Donald Manis and Buddy Helm, companion, Laura Willis. Lois C. Eggleston, 91, died peacefully at home, surrounded by her loving husband of 28 years, David, and caretaker Sylvia Longoria, on Monday, July 26th, in Midland. Lois was born on January 7, 1930, in Stanton to Sinobio and Tomasa Cardenas. She was the eldest of eight sisters. She was preceded in death by her parents, her sisters Connie Rodriguez Weaver and Mary Ramos, her first husband Petronilo Castellón, son Desi Castellón, daughter Luz Marie Rios, and grandson Michael Castellón, Jr. Those left to cherish her memory are her husband David Eggleston, daughter Juanita, and husband Octavio Molinar of Alaska, son Michael and wife Melissa Castellón of San Antonio, sisters Janie Ramos, Abby Vasquez, Eva Sloan, Elena and husband Jesse Chavez, all of Odessa, and Karina and Raul Gonzalez of Los Angeles, California. Several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and many nieces and nephews. A celebration of life memorial will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, our family suggests a donation be made in her name to the Alzheimer's Association or a charity of your choice. Tammy Conley was called home on Tuesday, September 21st, at 12:35 p.m. She was born on November 17, 1959. She was preceded in death by her beloved mother, Jackie McGuire Richardson, and her father, Walter Leo Richardson. Tammy is survived by her husband of 41 beautiful years, Hank Conley, her son Brandon Conley, daughter Jackie Hall, and son-in-law Christopher, two beautiful grandbabies, brother-in-law Bruce Conley, sister-in-law Tommy Seabolt, nephews, countless great-nieces and nephews. Condolences can be made to the family at acreswestfuneral.com. Gwendolyn Welsh Roberts, 84, passed away on September 21st. She was born August 22, 1937, in Fort Worth. Gwendolyn was preceded in death by her parents, Jameson and Juanita Welsh Sr., brother Jameson Welsh Jr., and brother-in-law Karen Cox. She is survived by her husband of 60 years, Larry Roberts, sons Dr. Alan Roberts, Stacy Kuntz, and Neil Roberts, Dr. Laura Lynn Roberts, sisters Suzanne Birch and Ron, and Pamela Cox, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held on Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m., followed by the funeral service at 10 a.m. at Shannon Rose Hill Funeral Chapel. The burial will follow at noon at Grandview Cemetery in Grandview. In lieu of flowers, the family would ask consideration of a donation to Knitted Knockers in memory of Gwendolyn. Margarito Lujan Canava, 60, died Wednesday, September 22nd, in Gardendale. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ramon G. Castillo, 73, died Tuesday, September 21st, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jose Rafael Hernandez, 48, died Thursday, September 23rd, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Rosa Gonzalez Lopez, 64, died Saturday, September 11th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Francisca Tesero Lujan, 90, of Odessa, died Monday, September 20th, in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 1 p.m., September 27th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, Peaceful Gardens. Father Joe Uecker is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Maria Herrera Chayo Mendias, 50, of Odessa, died Saturday, September 18th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 28th, at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Burial to follow at Odessa Gardens 2 at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Michael Darwin Mickey Olive, 83, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 23rd, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. October 2nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at 3 p.m. at Girard Cemetery in Girard, Texas. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Malcolm Kenneth Owens, 85, of Odessa, died Friday, September 24th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 29th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Bryce Anthony Padilla, 17, of Odessa, died Monday, September 20th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, October 1st, at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Raul Calderon Palma, 84, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 23rd, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Wednesday, September 29th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial follows at Odessa 2 Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Josephine Villa Mendoza, 58, of Odessa, died Friday, September 10th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 28th, at Martinez Funeral Home, Outside Chapel. Miguel Lopez Sr., 67, died Friday, August 20th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Ruben Munoz Jr., 63, died Tuesday, September 21st, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Celia Porras, 85, died Thursday, September 23rd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jesus Manuel Rueda, 77, died Tuesday, September 21st, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Henry Patrick Ryan, 72, died Thursday, September 23rd, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 27th. Odessa officer dies in traffic accident. The Ector County Hospital District Police Department and Medical Center Health System are mourning the loss of Sergeant Daniel Valenzuela Jr., who was killed in a traffic accident early Sunday morning in San Antonio, along with his father and grandmother. Quote, the Ector County Hospital District Police Department and Medical Center Health System suffered a devastating loss early Sunday morning when Sergeant Daniel Valenzuela Jr. was taken far too soon, said Brad Timmons, Chief of Police ECHD. Continuing the quote, Sergeant Valenzuela was instrumental in all aspects of the police department and Medical Center Hospital. Sergeant Valenzuela was a friend, colleague, and an outstanding police officer that has served this community with the utmost integrity and professionalism. More importantly, he was a good man, and he will be dearly missed. We ask the community to keep the Valenzuela family in your thoughts and prayers. End quote. Valenzuela leaves behind his wife and four children. Valenzuela served in law enforcement for almost 13 years. He started his career in La Mesa before moving to the Crane County Sheriff's Office and then the Ector County Hospital District Police Department, where he spent the past 7 years. Service details were not released as of Sunday. Seasonal allergies are here. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I knew fall was officially here the other morning, not because of the date, but because I woke up with itchy, watery eyes and a very runny nose. I, like many others, suffer from fall seasonal allergies. It seems like the severe weather change and winds of the week have made my symptoms and the symptoms of several people I know especially bad this year. Fortunately, there are things you can do to help reduce seasonal allergy symptoms. The first, though, in treating seasonal allergy symptoms is making sure it really is a seasonal allergy. Seasonal allergies, along with colds, flu, and COVID, all have common symptoms. But there are some things that are different with seasonal allergies than with viral infections. Common allergy symptoms include frequent sneezing, watery or itchy eyes, runny nose, congestion in nose, ears, or chest, postnasal drip, itchy throat, and swollen eyelids. Less common symptoms of allergies can be wheezing, coughing, changes in exercise endurance, and mild headaches. If you have fever, fatigue, body aches, weakness, severe headache, or severe sore throat, you are unlikely to be suffering from allergies, but from some sort of infection like a cold, the flu, or COVID. Duration can also be a clue. Seasonal allergies persist until the thing the person is allergic to is gone, which can take months for some allergens. Viral illnesses, except COVID, generally last less than 2 weeks. With most people, COVID is the same, but there are people who do hold on to COVID symptoms for months. Fortunately, those cases are rare. The other clue with seasonal allergies is exactly that. They are seasonal. They show up at about the same time every year. In the fall, pollen from weeds like ragweed, tumbleweed, pigweed, sagebrush, and Russian thistle are the biggest culprits. According to the Mayo Clinic, there are several things you can do to reduce your risk of suffering from seasonal allergies. First, reduce your exposure. stay indoors, especially on dry, windy days. Delegate lawn mowing, weed pulling, and other gardening activities. If that is not possible, consider wearing a particulate filtering mask while doing those activities. Shower and wash your hair at the end of the day to remove allergens from your body before going to bed. Pollen counts tend to be the highest in the mornings, so avoid outdoor activities at that time of day if possible. Second, keep indoor air clean. Use high-efficiency filters on air conditioners and heaters and change them out according to manufacturer recommendations. Consider a HEPA filter in your bedroom to reduce allergens and clean floors with a HEPA-filtered vacuum cleaner. There are several over-the-counter medications that can help. Oral antihistamines such as loratadine, Claritin, Allivert, cetirizine, Zyrtec, or fexofenadine, Allegra, that can help with the sneezing, itching, runny nose, and watery eyes. Some antihistamines can cause drowsiness, so be careful when you add those to your routine if you're doing any activities where you need to be alert, like driving. Nasal congestion can be helped by oral decongestants like pseudoephedrine, Sudafed, Afrinol, or oral decongestants like oxametazoline, Afrin, and phenaphine, neosinephrine. Be careful to only use nasal decongestants for a few days. Longer-term use of those medications can cause rebound congestion and make symptoms worse. There are also medications like Claritin D and Allegra D that combine both antihistamine and decongestant properties. Crumulin sodium nasal sprays are also good at easing symptoms because they help clean nasal passages, but they work best if they are started before the symptoms occur. Another over-the-counter remedy that seems to work well for many people are nasal rinses, such as neti pods or nasal irrigation squeeze bottles. They literally flush the allergens out of your nasal cavities. If you use those devices, make sure to use distilled sterile water to make the solution, and make sure the device is cleaned well according to manufacturer instructions after each use. With any medication, watch out for possible interactions with medications you are already taking and be aware of side effects. If you aren't sure which is best for you, talk to your pharmacist or primary health care provider. Finally, talk to your primary health care provider. Your health care provider can help you decide the best treatments for your seasonal allergies. If your allergies are severe, your primary health care provider can refer you to an allergy specialist where you can get tested for specifics on what you are allergic to and then decide on the best strategy to combat those allergens. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Hector County, 24,593 total cases, 486 deaths. Midland County, 25,601 total cases, 327 deaths. Texas, 4,016,181 total cases, 63,934 deaths. U.S. cases, 42,778,371 total confirmed cases, and 684,884 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Museum events. The Petroleum Museum, 501 West Wall Street, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Today, October 4th, 11th, and 18th, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Steam Sprouts, Lego Steam Park, ages 4 to 5. October 5th, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Building Bots, Robotics and Engineering Fun Lab for grades K through 2. October 14th, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Brown Bag Lunch and Lecture Series with Rebecca Dodge. Drinks and dessert provided. Admission is free. October 19th, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Building Bots, Robotics and Engineering Fun Lab for grades 3 through 6. October 20th through 22nd, Steam Break, Mad Science, half-day or full-day options, grades 1 through 6. October 28th, Family Science Night to Go, Spooky Science Spectacular, free Family Science Experiment and Activity Boxes, all materials and information needed for experiments are included. Demonstrations start on Facebook at 6:30 p.m. Pre-registration and pickup sign-up is required. Pre-registration is required for all STEAM, Fun Lab, and Spooky Science Spectacular events. To pre-register or for more information, visit petroleummuseum.org.
Supplemental oxygen and COPD. To your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, I have COPD. Will supplemental oxygen help me to resume walking outdoors for a daily exercise? I'm referring to the over-the-shoulder oxygenator now being advertised. This equipment is pretty expensive, so I don't want to waste my money if it won't help me. Dr. Roach writes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is a condition of compromised lungs and is most related to smoking, although there are other causes that make up a small minority of cases. The first consideration for your question is, what are your oxygen saturation levels, both at rest and during exertion? If a person has low oxygen levels, then there is strong evidence that giving oxygen improves both survival and quality of life. People with an oxygen saturation of 88% or less should be on oxygen full-time. People with poor exercise tolerance but with oxygen levels above 88% should be considered for evaluation of low oxygen during exercise. There is evidence that using oxygen helps exercise tolerance in people who develop low oxygen during exercise, but less than half of participants in one key study had a clinically meaningful improvement. If oxygen levels are normal at rest and during exertion, there is no evidence that supplemental oxygen is of benefit. Some important treatments for COPD that are sometimes not given include learning how to use inhalers properly. It's not as easy as it looks. Pulmonary rehabilitation, vaccination, especially against influenza, pneumonia, and COVID-19, possibly vitamin D supplements, and nutrition. Weight loss is common in COPD.
Aging mother's daily life does not include daughter. Dear Abby, I'm nearing 57 and single. My mother, who is 78, lives in the same apartment complex. I always try to talk with her because we don't have much time together. All she wants to do is watch TV and read the paper. She allows me to talk to her for about half an hour a day, then she has to go. If I visit her, she can only talk to me for a few minutes. Then she has to put the TV on. I feel like I must beg her to talk with me. When I approached her about it, she said she's living her life how she wants to, basically without me. Because of that, I have decided to give up and spend only Christmas and her birthday with her. She probably wouldn't even notice. If you have any advice, I would like to hear it. Signed, Her Sad, Hurt Daughter. Dear Sad, Hurt Daughter, I do have some. A half-hour phone call every day may be too much for your mother to handle. that she has to limit your calls to 30 minutes tells me you would like them to be even longer. Every day, rather than punish her by distancing yourself and seeing her only twice a year, limit those visits and phone conversations to twice a week. I think it would be healthier for both of you if you find a way to become less emotionally dependent upon your mother. Also, plan some outings away from the apartment complex for you and your mom to share. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been together 20 years. In the middle of our living room sits an albatross of a coffee table. My husband's girlfriend made it for him in the late 60s, early 70s. I think it weighs 500 pounds. I am finally redecorating the house, and I want this table out of my life, but he won't hear of it. He says there will be absolutely no negotiating on the subject. I've tried every approach. I feel like I'm second fiddle to his past. How can I move forward with so much resentment? Signed, Hates the Relic in California. Dear Hates, congratulations on redecorating your home. Rather than argue with your husband about the albatross, it may be time to rethink how you use the space. Many men enjoy having an area just their own, a man cave. Why not create one for him and put his treasured love gift in there, where you won't have to see it? If he gives you an argument, that is the time to tell him you have tolerated having it in the middle of your home for the last 20 years and you've been a good sport about it long enough. Dear Abby, recently I went swimming with my husband and his parents. We are around 50 years old. They're both 70. My in-laws took lots of photos and posted them on social media. I was not happy about it because I've gained weight during this COVID period. How do I mention this to them? Should I tell my husband? Signed, Uncomfortable in Texas. Dear Uncomfortable, by all means, tell your husband if he doesn't already know how uncomfortable this made you. Then ask your in-laws to please take the photos down because you didn't realize until you saw them how much weight you had put on. If your relations with them are friendly, they'll probably accommodate you. Then schedule another shoot when you are ship-shape again.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.